First Timothy chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3 says, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. Oh, what a great reminder that I certainly need to be reminded of from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. So good to see you, friend. I pray that you are hanging in there. Hope you're doing well today. It is, of course, Thursday, this 21st day of May 2020. Our son officially graduated on Sunday. We had a different ceremony. It was kind of like one of those drive-up things, and each person got out one by one, not all together, one by one, and took a picture in front of the school marquee with our son's cap and gown on with the diploma, and that was it. It was so interesting. There was no walking across the stage or anything, but hey, we're proud of him regardless. If he walks across the stage or gets a picture taken with the diploma, we're so proud of our boy. It's kind of hard to believe that we have a child who just graduated high school. So my wife and I have been feeling old this week. So anyways, hey, it's been an interesting week, that's for sure. We need to be praying for our friends up north in Michigan with the state of disaster with the flooding that has been taking place up there and things going on in our nation, our state. We need to be a people of prayer. And let's not forget to pray for those who are in authority as well. So let's be a people of prayer today, this week, this month, this season that we are in. Well, this past Tuesday morning, our dear brother in the Lord, Ravi Zacharias, went home to be with his Lord and his Savior early Tuesday morning. And Ravi Zacharias, he was a fantastic apologist. He was a wonderful, incredible defender of the faith. I'll tell you, I think many of us have been blessed by his ministry over the years, either by some of his books or something you heard on the radio or seen on YouTube or social media. What a incredible giant he was for the glory and kingdom of God. That is for sure. And he went home to be with his Lord and Savior early Tuesday morning. And so I thought we would kind of take a step back today on Mark and Friends and hear a message that he did at the Mormon Tabernacle in Utah about the Word of God. But also, as he was sharing about the Word of God, he gave his testimony. Oh, dear friend, what a wonderful testimony it was. How Jesus came down and saved him from the pit of his destruction. So we're going to hear the incredible testimony of Ravi Zacharias right after this on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends on Great News Radio.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of life righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live.
And Kristen Getty in Christ Alone. Good Thursday to you. This is, of course, Mark and Friends. My name is Joey Kroll, and here is the wonderful testimony of Ravi Zacharias.
Do you read the scriptures? Do you take the Bible, open it up, and see that it is really a book that reads you and so thoroughly discloses your heart? You know, I marvel at the fact that at the age of 17, when I'd never cracked open a Bible on my own, the previous year, a little bit of exposure had come. Prior to that, never opened a Bible. I'm not even sure we had one in the home. I think my dad had one. But I'm lying in a hospital bed. Do you know why? Because I wanted out of life. My life had no meaning. I wanted to be a cricketer. I wanted to play tennis. I did it well, but I would never have excelled to the ranks of the best. So I wasn't even going to make it there. I just did it, played at a university level. That was it. And as I'm lying in this hospital bed, having attempted to take my own life, a man walks in with a little red Gideon's New Testament. I couldn't reach out for it because my body was dehydrated. The moisture was gone. It was a servant in the house who rushed me to the hospital. And my mother takes that Bible that he gives and she says, "You really can't stay here. My son is in critical condition." And he said, "Ma'am, your son needs this more than anything else." And so he opens to John chapter 14, where Jesus is talking to Thomas. "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me." And then he goes on in verse 19 and says, "Because I live, you also shall live." The power of the Word of God to crack open this encrusted heart of a young man who'd never had the wisdom to open it before. And I begin to pray And I say, Lord, if you are the Lord of life, take me out of this hospital room. I will leave no stone unturned in my pursuit of truth. That day is so vivid in my mind. Every time I go to Delhi, my home city in India, I always take a taxi and I go and park outside that hospital room. And I just saw the hospital building and I just sit there for about 10 or 15 minutes and recall what happened when I was 17 years old. Happened with the Word of God. Happened with the Word of God. And as I walked out of there, 5 days later, the doctor looked at me and he said, you know, young man, we've given you back your life, but we cannot make you want to live. I just said, doctor, you don't need to worry about that. I had that little red New Testament and I walked away from that room. The man who brought that New Testament into my room died last year. I spoke to him a few days before he died from our home in Atlanta. He was living in Los Angeles. I wanted to come over. He said, Rob, don't. He said, you've got many, many other things to do. But here's what he said to me. He said, I just want to say to you, I sit down sometimes and watch you on YouTube, and the tears run down my face, and I think to myself, the main reason God brought me into this world was to bring that Bible to you. I said, Fred, God brought you into the world for a lot more than just that. He said, no, man. He said, I just want you to know, I can't say enough of what it means that you're one of my sons in the faith, and it gives me the greatest amount of joy. Thy word is true. Thy word is true. Can I urge you to open the scriptures and make it a commitment to read the Gospel of John? Just take the scriptures. Read the Gospel of John. Stay with the Word. Stay with the Word. Because that is what turned the heart of a nation back under young Josiah. That is what turned David's heart, and that's why he said what he did in his Psalms when he says, you know, your word is truth. It is a lamp and a light, and how the scriptures cannot be broken. Paul says to Timothy to bathe in those scriptures that he learned as a little boy. And so my Lord, before he goes to the cross, sits down with his disciples. This is the body that is broken for you. This is the cup of the new covenant of my blood, which is shed for you. And I will not enjoy this again until we celebrate it in the presence of my Father. Holy communion with the living God. That is life's purpose. And once you enjoy that communion, you enjoy the purpose, and life becomes interpreted in all of its goodness and all of the foibles and all of the pain that comes your way. Three results. Number one, what happened after he gave them this? Number one, it built within them the conviction of safety. Ladies and gentlemen, you are never more safe than we're in the hands of God. Time and time and time again, I've experienced this. You know, Billy Kim, the Korean evangelist, talks of the time during the Korean War. There was a man in the shell hole who was being ordered by his commander to go and rescue his fallen mates as the firepower was raining so much out. But this guy kept ducking the orders, and kept looking at his watch, wouldn't get out of his shell hole. Finally, after being reprimanded several times, he looked at his watch one more time, jumped out of the shell hole, and went to rescue his fallen mates. The next day, one of them looked at his exhausted expression and said, "What is going on with you? 3 times you were ordered, and you only did something by looking at your watch, till finally you got with it." He said, "I hate to tell you this, I'm not right with God. I was terrified of what might happen. But I remembered my mother told me what hour each day she was going to be praying for me. And I kept looking at that watch till that hour would strike. And I knew, covered by my mother's prayers, no matter what happened, I would be protected by my Lord, and my mother's prayers carried me through. I've spoken at so many of our military bases. I'll never forget the lineup at Qatar Doha, Doha Qatar, CENTCOM, where they were lined up after my talk late one night, and almost every one of them with a piece of paper and a telephone number. Call my family, tell them I love them. Call my mother, tell her I love her. And they all followed it with one more line: please pray for me. All the firepower in the world doesn't give you the protection as the canopy that God can give you. It builds the conviction of safety. Secondly, it gives you the power to change. It gives you the power to change. Has your heart been redeemed by Christ? See, here's the point. Your heart and my heart need to be transformed. The Bible calls it the new birth, the new hungers, the new life. So before you go tonight, or before you go to bed, get onto your bedside and ask the Lord to make you right with Him. That's where it begins. You've heard this story, I'm sure many of you, but it brings a beautiful ending to what I want to say to you. It's about this rich man who had a great art gallery in his home and this good son. The son would walk through town, and he would always stop by a beggar's little place where he sat on the sidewalk begging. And this wealthy son would engage the beggar in conversation, and we talk about his father's art gallery. And the beggar said, you know, I can draw too. So he said, next time bring me some paper and I'll draw you something. And so after the boy brought it, young man brought it, he did a portrait of the young man, and next time he came, he gave it to him. He said, this is my portrait of you. Well, it didn't do very much, but he was quite happy to take it. Years went by, and he found out that the rich man had passed away. But the son had come and told him that. Some more time went by, and the son stopped coming. So one day he picked up his little sheet from the sidewalk and picked up his little container and walked towards the gate of the home. And he said, what happened? I used to be a young man here, always came to see me. He said, oh, well, he passed away too. I said, oh, wow, I didn't know that. So the man, watchman told him, you know, you're really disturbing there because they're going to have a gallery, an auction of his art gallery and so on. So the beggar rushes home, puts on some nice clothes and comes back, and he slips in. He wants to get in to see this art gallery. And he wants to see whether the young boy ever did anything with his etching and that he'd done. And he walks into the room with all these great paintings, and he sees his own etching on the wall. I said, oh, wow. The man doing the auction starts the bidding, and everybody is getting restless. And they say, let's get on, please, in a hurry. So he pounds the gavel, and he says this. He said, before we get on with all these paintings, the man left in his will one proviso, that this portrait of the son is to be auctioned first. Nobody bid on it. The beggar put his hand into his pocket, took out the coins, and he says, I bid on that. So they took this off the wall and gave it to this beggar. Somebody says, can we get on with the real stuff now? And their cavalier says, no. The man made a second proviso in his will. Whoever gets the son gets the entire collection. Have you got the son? Apostle Paul says, we are complete in him. We are complete in him. And I present to you today, the world out there is caught in this vortex of relativism, the absoluteness of God's word and the supremacy of love will carry you through. We will never change the outside until we have changed within. Let the word of God be found again in our places of worship, in our churches, any place that claims to know Him. Let the Word of God be central, and let worship be the consummate expression of all that you and I really are. The Word and worship. Once we do that, the world will see the beauty that is Christ's and want to follow Him.
Amen. That is our dear brother Ravi Zacharias speaking several years ago at the Mormon Tabernacle in Utah and sharing about the preciousness of the Word of God, but also gave his testimony and how God saved him. And our dear brother Ravi Zacharias went home to be with the Lord early Tuesday morning. And there was a quote that he said some time ago that that just blesses my heart. I remember the first time reading it, I just had tears coming down my cheek. He said one time, "The story of the gospel is the story of eternal life. My life is unique and will endure eternally in God's presence. I will never be no more, and I will never be lost, because I will be with the one who saves me." Praise the Lord. Friend, if you missed any of today's message and program, go back and listen to it at our website. We have those archived for you. GreatNewsRadio.org. Right there on the right-hand side, there should be a section that says archived programs. Go ahead and click on the year 2020 and find today's program. Re-listen to it. Maybe share it with a friend as well. GreatNewsRadio.org. And then on the section there, just click archived programs. Well, friend, that clock over there is telling me that my time is winding down, but it has been such an honor to hang out with you today on this Thursday, this May 21st, 2020. Until next time, just remember, as you go out and about, just remember that you are salt and you are light and you are the hands and feet of Jesus. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.